Hello and welcome to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Roberts. You can find me on Twitter at Mark F. Roberts. That's Mark with a C. And I am joined by Daniel Green, who you can find on Twitter at
Daniel A. Green 1, green like the color.
Not with an extra E.
No extra E.
And Tyler Watts, who you can find on Twitter at
Watsy 4444.
And we are broadcasting on a Friday night in preparation for fantasy drafts this weekend. So that's what we're going to be focusing on, is helping all of our listeners get ready for their fantasy drafts. Most fantasy drafts, we've got, what do we got, guys? Two more weekends before the season starts?
That's it.
Yep.
We are winding down. So I don't know about you guys. I think most fantasy drafts, like I said, either have to happen – most of them happen on the weekends. I think a lot of them happen this weekend, and probably the most happen the weekend after. Is that how your guys' leagues go?
Yeah, I mean, typically most of my leagues draft about a week and a half before the regular season starts. So we're getting close to the peak drafting season, in my opinion.
Yeah. Tyler?
I'll second that. I mean, most of my drafts are coming up here within the next week, so we're getting there.
How many leagues do you guys play in?
Dude, I used to play in so many, and then once DFS started, like, the number of season-long leagues I went in went from, like, 11 down to, like, 7 down to 5, and this year it might be, like, 3.
Yeah, that kind of feels like the right number. Well, how many do you play in, Tyler?
I used to only play in like 3, but it's been getting up there now.
So Tyler went the other way.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, it's actually a lot. Like, I enjoy playing around 3 because, you know, when you're playing in 7, 8, 9, 10 leagues, you basically have every player in the league on one of your teams.
Yeah. So it's hard to keep track. It's like hard to know if you're excited if a player did good or.
Yeah. And then especially like if like someone on the waiver wire you want to pick up, you got to go enter into every one of your freaking leagues, you know, and add them. So like it's playing 3. I think 3 is a nice balance. And, you know, it's not too crazy.
I think 2 would be the ideal number, but it's hard to limit yourself. Anyway, I'm only in 4 so far and I'm trying to keep 5 maximum. So maybe we'll do a listener league and that will
get we should the whole podcast should just be about how many leagues we're gonna play. Anyway,
that felt like a shot at my question.
No, it didn't. I was just wondering how long can we keep going with this.
All right. Well, more you're probably right. Whether you meant to diss my question or not.
No, I totally did not.
I think the more pertinent information here is let's talk about some of the players. About a week ago, I know these podcasts have been a little disjointed, but hopefully they've been enjoyable. Anyway, about a week ago, we went into our rankings on the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast, which you can still go and check out. And we talked through the top of the draft, talked through the players that were going in the first round, some of the players that went in the second round. And I think today what we want to talk about is players that are more towards the bottom half of the draft, which is, you know, admittedly probably the more interesting part of the draft. You know kind of who you're going to take in the top parts of the draft, but uncovering gems towards the end of the draft is really where you can make a lot of hay. So before we start that, guys, are there any news or notes from around the league that you want to make sure we mention?
Well, I guess we can say, I think the big news tonight, I don't know if you want to say big news, but just news tonight, was that J.R. Smith signed for Cleveland. So
big news for J.R. Smith.
Yeah. I mean, I think he got $57 million for over 4 years, which, as I was saying to you off air, it's just so annoying when someone that like selfish gets that much money. So I'm a little bitter. So obviously Cleveland has now, I think they brought back every single player they had from last year, right?
On the Dellavedova, I think is.
Yeah, except Delly. So, I guess that's good news for them. They have their whole squad back. And other than that, I think that was the only real quote unquote news of the night. I know. Watsy 44444 wants to talk about Paul Millsap. He's very worried about Paul Millsap.
No, that was my point. Is I'm not worried about Paul Millsap. That he hasn't played in a preseason game yet. And I've been seeing people like freaking out about not picking him. And I've actually been seeing him slide to like sometimes even the third round before someone takes him. And I think that he's just sick right now. He's not hurt anymore. And so I think that people are letting him slide way too far.
I'll take all the Paul Millsap I can get in the third round.
Yeah, he's so fun to own because he does every category he's good at. I love owning Paul Millsap. Every year I try to, he's one of the guys I try to target. So yeah, he should be fine by the he's on track to play in the regular season opener. So shouldn't be too worried. I guess we could also mention this. One of the guys we'll probably be talking about all year long when it comes to injuries, Anthony Davis, who's got a sprained ankle, and now they're saying he's probably going to be out 10 to 14 days. Mark and Tyler, are you guys worried about this at all? I've heard two different reports today. One saying the season opener is in doubt, and another saying he hopes to be ready by it.
Yeah, so, I mean, I only projected him for 67 games. I think you know what you get with Anthony Davis at this point. I wish the guy could stay healthy and play 80 games, but I've yet to see him play 70 games in a season. So I think you just know that's what you're getting with Anthony Davis. This doesn't really move the needle for me either way.
Yeah.
I'll second that. The most frustrating thing about owning him is the ones where he plays like the first quarter and then like he gets hit with the ball in the face and then just leaves and doesn't come back.
Yeah, I mean the frustrating part with him is always like it doesn't appear that they're real injuries a lot of times. You're like it's tough to figure out, well, you know, if that was, you know, player X, he'd probably play through that, right? It's hard to figure out like how much is just his pain tolerance is not very high versus like what's a real injury when it comes to him. Because he gets these weird injuries. He had an eyelash injury last year. Yeah, you know, he gets elbowed in like his groin region. He's out for like 8 weeks. It gets very weird injury. So yeah, he's a frustrating guy to own, but yeah. Hopefully he'll be okay by the opening game.
I guess my message is don't be frustrated by him getting ticky-tack injuries and sitting out if you own him. Like that's who you're drafting. If you don't want those things, don't draft him.
So basically, you have to be a very calm person, and then you can draft Anthony. Yeah.
Well, just don't put your if you're expecting 75 or 80 games out of Anthony Davis, you're going to be totally disappointed, most likely. If you want 80 games out of your first round pick, pick almost anybody else in the first round is going to give you a lot better chance.
He's going to be like I can't wait to see what he's going to be priced at in DFS as well. Like at the start of last year, you know, that's when people were predicting he's going to be an MVP of the league. He was like one of the highest priced players in DFS.
Yeah.
And then towards the end of the year, you know, his price went down like $2,000-$3,000. So I'm curious to see kind of where he starts out at this year and where he kind of falls in. I mean, like he was priced higher than Westbrook and Harden and all those guys at the start of last year. That's and Steph Curry. So yeah.
Who do you think will be the most high priced guy this year?
I would think it's got to be Harden or Westbrook.
Yeah, I mean, or I guess Curry could be up there, right?
But yeah, he'll still be up there. I mean, all those guys will be probably in the 10,000 plus range. So, all right.
Let's get into it. Let's get into the rankings here.
Let's do it, Tyler. Why don't you take the first crack, my friend? Who's a player outside the top 50 at our rankings in the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast that either jumps out at you or you're looking at either ranked too high, too low?
A guy I've been targeting quite a bit is Goran Dragic. I think that like he's just going to be a little bit better than even what we have him projected for. I'm thinking he's a top 50 player this year. He's only projected for 5.2 assists. I think he's going to get up there right around 6. And I think he's going to score more than 15.4 points. So I'm definitely looking at him.
So how high would you – like how long until you would feel comfortable taking him? Would you take him in the top – so would you take him in the fourth round if you're in a 12-team league?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely would take him in the fourth round.
Third round?
I'm probably not pushing up to the third round, but in the fourth round I'm definitely taking him. He is ranked 48th on ESPN.
Dan, agree, disagree?
So, yeah, I'm really high on Dragic. I mean, his usage rate when Wade wasn't in the lineup last year, I think it was in like the mid-20s, mid to high 20s, depending on which month you were looking at.
I'm going to fact check you here, but yeah, keep talking.
Yeah, let's hope I'm right. I know his usage rate would go through the roof when Wade went out. So,
yeah.
You know, again, no Wade, no Bosch. Whiteside is a decent offensive player, especially for someone of his size. But Dragic, he's going to be able to have the ball in his hands and then be able to shoot as many times as he wants. I wouldn't be surprised if his usage rate is really right around that 25 to 26% mark. So I totally agree with Tyler that he will definitely average more than 15.4 points. I have him slotted for about 18.6, 19 points a game, right in there. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's a little bit higher, than that, honestly. The only thing that's given me a little concern the last few days is I've been reading the Miami Herald, and I guess he's pretty fed up at the way Miami is Miami management has played this all out. I mean, remember, when Dragic went there, he thought he's going to, like, a, you know, almost like a title contender. He thought Wade and Bosch, you know, Bosch was going to be healthy. And it's basically the second Dragic got there, that's when Bosch became, you know, got the blood clots for the first time. So yeah. Now that basically they're going super young and are going to be a lottery team, I guess he's not very happy now. So, and I know Riley does want to rebuild and wants a tons of cap room. So, I mean, I'm thinking, well, would they dare try to trade Dragic? I mean, he's got a pretty good contract, like a team-friendly contract, so I don't think they will. I think that will work itself out. But that's concerning me a little bit, because I think he has the most value by far if he stays with Miami.
Yeah. So Dragic had a 27 usage rating of 27 when Wade was off the court.
Which is excellent.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I definitely think he will for sure score more than 15 points a game.
I actually am a little down on Dragic. I hope he comes through because I have him in a couple of keeper leagues. But he's just been inconsistent throughout his career. I know that you can point to certain situations, but I think this expectation that he's just going to definitely excel in this Heat situation because Wade is gone, I'm not so sure I'm buying it. I think he's getting a little bit older. I think there's just enough reasons to be skeptical of it. Like I think that there's definitely a scenario where he does turn into that guy we saw a few years in Phoenix, but I think there's an equal number of scenarios where this is just who he is now. Like he's not a high scorer. He's not a high assist guy. He's going to shoot a good percentage. He's going to be fairly decent in many of the categories, but he's not really going to excel. In any of them, he's not going to shoot a lot of three pointers or get any steals. And I think I'm pretty happy with where we have him ranked, actually.
All right. Yeah. I mean,
I doubt that I'll draft him this year. I guess I would say it that way. Like, I think he's going to go. I think a lot of people are really high on him. And so I think somebody's always going to take a chance on him before I'm willing to take a chance.
Yeah, but Mark, just think like this. I mean, try to, like, take it from a macro perspective of the Miami Heat team. Who's gonna shoot and score for them?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely those questions. So I think you could draw out a scenario where it's like, well, Dragic really just takes the reins and is like, he's the man and he gets 22 points a game, right? Like, I can see that. I'm not saying that's not possible. Can you also envision a scenario where they're 15 and 30 at the All-Star break and Dragic starts having whatever issues, leg issues, knee injuries, and Pat Riley tells them to sit out so they can get a high draft pick?
I don't see that happening because I think they're going to stink regardless. I don't think, you know, a healthy or not healthy Dragic is going to make that much of an impact on games. So, I mean, I don't think I'm not going to take that into account. I just think they need people to shoot and score. And I mean, Winslow is just not there yet.
No.
Tyler Johnson's not there yet.
I mean, he'll put up some shots if he wants.
He'll put up some shots, but he's really more of a defensive player at this point. And his offensive game is not developed. You know, I think he's only in the second or third season. So, I mean, besides Whiteside, I mean, I literally don't know where the shots are going to come from that team. So I think Dragic is going to have to shoot. You know, I mean, I generally
try to not buy into those arguments. I think they usually – the shots disperse out and they don't go to one guy. I mean, I think to the time when LeBron left Miami and people said that about Bosch, oh, you know, LeBron is gone. Bosch is going to go back to his 20 in 10 days. He's going to get a lot of rebounds. He's going to put up more points because he has to. Like, LeBron is gone. And Bosch, by and large, was the exact same player just because they found other players to shoot and score and rebound, and he kind of played the same role. So Believe me, I get the argument. I can see a situation where Dragic is a very good player this year. I'm not buying it completely. I think that there's an equal number of scenarios where he works.
All right, so would you want Dragic or Mike Conley?
Good question. I have Dragic a few spots higher than Conley, mostly because of injury risk. If you could guarantee me that Conley was going to play the same number of games, I'd take Conley.
Interesting.
But I would probably take Dragic. I feel better about him than Conley coming off that injury.
All right.
But it's very close.
Okay. Let's talk about another player. Mark, what, you want to take a shot at someone that you're looking at?
Yeah. Let's stick with the Grizzlies. I'm interested to hear what you guys think of Marc Gasol.
Oh, God, the Grizzlies.
Like, they've got a new coach. It seems like everybody is rushing to say how much the players love him, which is, I think, is a good sign. Fizdale seems like a well-respected new – like more well-respected than most new coaches are. The reports I hear, not like I hear special reports, but the reports that we're all hearing out of the Grizzlies – is that Marc Gasol and Mike Conley look like you wouldn't know that they were injured last season, which is a good sign. But, man, I get nervous when Marc Gasol is like the top player on my rankings and whether I should draft him or not.
Yeah, I mean, the cool thing about Gasol this year is that I guess he has a mandate where he has to take 4 3-pointers a game.
Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know how much of that is like – basically a joke.
Are you joking or what?
No, I haven't heard this story. Their coach wants him to take 4 threes a game. So, like the fact
Marc Gasol's gonna move from barely my favorite player in the league to like easily my favorite player in the league if he starts taking 4 threes a game.
Hey, he did. I think he was 3 for 4 last game too in the preseason. Granted, it's the preseason. And I don't know how much that matters.
That's fantastic.
No, he definitely will be shooting some threes this year, which is exciting. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, the first
all
thing
right, – all my worries over. If Marc Gasol is going to start shooting threes, I'm in.
Yeah. No, he definitely is going to. You know, will he get 4 a game? I'm not sure. But he's definitely going to shoot some each game. So, I don't know. It's just – he's a guy that's – first of all, he's not exciting to watch, right? That's one thing.
Oh, how dare you? I actually think he's one of the funnest players in the league to watch.
You know what? Actually, I take that back too. Because yeah, you're right. He's really smart. He's a really good passer. A lot of times they run the offense through him. So yeah, I take that back. He just really
and like great. Occasionally when he runs the break, I think it's one of the funnest things in the league because like he has all the skills and knowledge, but the movement is
the mind doesn't do what the body wants.
Yeah, and it's not like he's still a world class athlete, right? Like I'm not saying but. You're used to seeing like LeBron or Paul George or somebody else do those things, and to watch Marc Gasol do it is, I think it's fun.
Yeah, I mean, so I think we have him ranked 58th in our rankings. I think we have him for 15 points, 7 rebounds, 1 block.
You know, he's 39th on ESPN. I'm afraid I'm not going to draft him either.
Oh, 39th is way too high. I like where we have him. I'd probably have him. You know, not any higher than 50th. I'd probably have him in between 50 and 60. So, like, you know, what is that, a fifth to sixth round pick in a standard draft. I mean, you know, I think like you already said, the main thing with Gasol is he going to be healthy? And it's – even though he's only 31, I mean, wow, when you're talking about Olympics and all the foreign experience he has playing for his national team, it's just tough to see him playing more than – you know, I think we have him slotted for 66 games. It's tough to see him playing – more games than that.
All right. I got him.
So I think, you know, he's ranked 58th and I think that's about right.
I got another one I want to ask you guys about. I don't know that my projection on him was numerical. It was not a unrational projection, but where I have him compared to where ESPN has him ranked makes it look a little irrational, especially how I talked about him last year. That's Nikola Mirotic. I've got him ranked 62, 13 points, 6 rebounds, 2 3-pointers, 1 steal, 0.7 blocks. He's coming in at 62. ESPN has him ranked 128th. What do you guys think? Tyler, what do you think of Nikola Mirotic? Do you think he's more the 62nd best player or more the 128th best player?
I think this is the best of both worlds because I think you can wait on this guy. I don't think anyone wants him after – last year, everyone saying, oh, he was going to be good, and then he got picked. real high, and then he didn't perform up to that expectation. The thing I'm worried most about is just him getting the minutes. But, I mean, your projection here, he comes out 62nd in 28 minutes.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe that doesn't really matter that much.
Yeah. Dan, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about this on one of the podcasts already. I mean, his point per minute is pretty good on a consistent basis the last couple of years. So I think even if he doesn't start, and I watched the Bulls play again tonight in a preseason game, and Taj Gibson is just dominating. So if Hoiberg and I think Mirotić is a better fit, you know, as we've talked about, the Bulls need spacing when you're going to play Rondo, Wade, and Butler and Robin Lopez. Dear God, you need some spacing. So playing Gibson, having four guys who can't shoot outside of 6 feet, is going to make it awfully difficult. But if Hoiberg is really just looking at who played the best in the preseason, I think he's got to let Gibson start. Gibson is just balling out of his mind and playing so hard, whereas Mirotić has looked dreadful except for like one game in the preseason. So, but even if Mirotić doesn't start, I still think he has to get at least 25 minutes a game because they do need that spacing, need that perimeter shooting. So just because, I mean, you know, he does project out, he's really good on that point per minute basis. I think, you know, ESPN is on crack because, I mean, that ranking is way, 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 way too low. I don't know what they were doing, but I like where we have him at 62. Maybe that's a tiny bit high, but I think he's going to be a solid player this year.
I thought I'd get more pushback from you guys on that one.
No.
All right,
no.
Here's another question for you, a quick hitter a little bit. Rodney Hood, would you rather have Rodney Hood or Devin Booker?
Oh man, I like both those guys a lot right now. I mean, I love Hood.
Very similar players.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gung ho on Hood right now simply because when Gordon Hayward's out, and I think that's going to give Hood a lot more shots. So like, I'm trying to get Hood in favors in a lot of my drafts. So I think Hood's going to start the season out really, really well. Booker has looked tremendous this preseason. Again, I know you're not a guy who takes, you know, you really don't think you don't think much of the preseason, right? So.
No, and it's not – yeah, I ignore the preseason completely.
Right.
There's just too many weird things going on. I can't pick apart the stuff that matters from the stuff that doesn't matter, so I just throw it all away.
Right, so, I mean, but he's looked tremendous. These guys to me are really close. I would probably lean slightly Hood just because I know Hayward's going to be out to start the season. But
Tyler, what do you say?
Oh, I think you guys know what I think. I'm going with Devin Booker on this one. I think from what I've seen so far that Booker in a few years is going to be one of the top players in the league. I mean, he looks really good.
Bold prediction from Tyler. Do you guys want to take a guess at where they're – maybe you've looked already. Do you know where they're slotted in ESPN's rankings?
Wow.
Booker's at 67. Right. Rodney Hood is at 105.
Dude, who's the guy? Let's give the guy a shout out. Who's doing these rankings on ESPN? No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. I've already been blocked. Maybe our listeners will know a guy by the name of Kevin Pelton. He apparently has blocked me on Twitter.
Everybody knows who Kevin Pelton is.
Right, everyone knows. I guess everyone knows who this Kevin Pelton is, and he's blocked me on Twitter, and I have no idea why.
Act like you don't know who he is.
No, I mean, his name sounded familiar to me, but I didn't know like where he wrote for. But anyway, so I found out I was blocked by him, and I'm very, very distraught over this. Kevin Pelton, what did I do to you, man? So, so that's interesting that ESPN has Hood ranked that low.
I'm surprised. I would have thought they were ranked together. In other words, like if Hood was low, I would have guessed Booker was low, and if Booker was high, I would have guessed Hood was high. So I'm surprised at the disparity in rankings there, and I think that means the value you're going to get is with Hood.
Yeah. Well, also, I'm pretty sure those rankings don't take into effect. I'm just looking at the date that they were released. They don't take into effect that Gordon Hayward is going to miss the first, you know, few games. So,
all right. How about number 83 on my rankings, Clint Capella? ESPN has him at 139. I've got him ranked for a less than stellar 38% from the free throw line, which will obviously be a challenge. He doesn't take a lot of them though, and only 10 points a game. So those are the drawbacks there, but I've got him projected for 9.3 rebounds, 1.7 blocks, 1.1 steals, and 57% from the field. Is he a guy you only want to draft in like head-to-head leagues, or would you guys consider taking Capella in a rotisserie league? Or are you guys like, I don't want him in either?
Tyler, go ahead, man.
Did you see his sweet underhanded free throws he was shooting? Because
no, in my effort to avoid preseason, I guess I missed that.
Yeah, he's been shooting some underhanded free throws, so I think maybe he can make better than 38% with his underhand shot. I'm definitely not touching him in a roto league because, I mean, it's basically going to make you punt free throws. I mean, because even if he's taking next to no attempts at 38%, that's going to be damaging. To say the least.
Underhand, that's a whole new story, though.
I mean, I don't understand why he doesn't try to use the backboard when he shoots the underhand ones. Just try to make as many as he can. But for head-to-head leagues, he is.
Did you guys ever listen to the Malcolm Gladwell podcast?
I did. Yeah, I did.
He made a very compelling case for shooting underhand free throws.
He did. That was a good podcast.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry to interrupt, Tyler. Keep going. Give us the goodness on Capella.
He is a beast in head-to-head leagues, though. If you're punting free throws in a lot of our custom rankings we do, he comes out as a top 10 player.
He must be punting points as well, right?
I would think probably so.
I think in our head-to-head rankings, he's about 50, which eliminates free throw percentage.
But it takes a little bit away from his good field goal percentage, right?
Right. But that's what I'm saying. To get him into the top 10, I think you're punting like three-pointers in points or something.
Which is possible. Yeah. But here's the thing. Like, that's only in 27 minutes, too. So, I mean, like, I can't see any way he gets less than that.
Yeah. And that's maybe a good time to pause and tell everybody, if you need custom rankings for your draft, don't forget to email us at dfbpod@gmail.com. I know, Tyler, you said we sent out about 50 or so?
We sent out 50 today.
So there you go. If you need your custom rankings for your draft, if you play in an unusual league, we can customize rankings specifically for your league. Dan, what do you think about Clint Capella? I know you're probably having like flashbacks to last year when I talked about him all the time.
When you told us he's better than Whiteside?
I don't think that was my exact quote. That was close.
The most fascinating thing about Capella to me is how is D'Antoni going to use him this year?
Yeah.
I mean, I can envision D'Antoni just going with a small lineup playing. I mean, he could play Ryan Anderson at the five. And just going small ball all the way. So how many minutes is he going to get per game? It's when you're talking about D'Antoni and what kind of offense they're going to run in, it's just totally in flux. That is one team I haven't paid too much attention in the preseason with, so my knowledge is a little lacking. I mean, overall, if he gets the minutes, I think he's fine. I mean, I think he's not going to be, unfortunately, Hassan Whiteside, but what we have him slotted for, 10 points, 9 rebounds. I think we only have him for, almost 2 blocks. So, yeah, he's going to excel at blocks, and that's about right.
That's the other thing that's important.
Yeah, he does get some steals. You know, and like we already talked upon, his free throw percentage will probably destroy you. And that's what. It goes to a bigger question with that whole Houston team: is what is D'Antoni going to do? How's that offense going to be? And even if Capella starts and plays over 27 minutes a game, it's hard to see him getting. A lot of touches in that offense. To score, he's going to have to score on like putbacks and things of that nature. Because I don't see him getting the ball too often. And he doesn't have an offensive game, unlike Whiteside.
All right, let's move down to number 93 on our list. That's Reggie Jackson. He, as you would expect, didn't start at 93 on his list, but after his injury and his injections, he's out 4 to 6 weeks. We've only got him projected for 60 games, so he comes in at 93. What is your guys' approach to somebody like Reggie Jackson when you know he's going to miss some time? What do you do with him, Dan? Would you draft him early, or are you staying away from him?
Yeah, I mean, this is it kind of goes by the league that I'm in. I go league by league, draft team by team, draft by draft. I won't
think through that. Like, what type of leagues would you draft him in, and what type of league would you avoid him in?
So in a roto league, I probably would avoid him.
Really?
Quite honestly. Just because, I don't know, even when he plays, his field goal percentage is going to be so crappy. It's not a guy that I'd really probably look to. I mean, he's more of a guy – well, first of all, if your league has an IR spot, obviously he becomes more in play.
Right.
Or if I'm in a more, let's say, you know, because I mean, some of my leagues are really gung-ho where everyone is, you know, is a killer on the waiver wire and knows what they're doing. Some leagues, you know, the guys aren't going to be paying attention as much. It's leagues where I know I'm probably going to make the playoffs anyway, where I'd probably take a chance with on Reggie Jackson. You know, so if I was in a league with like Tyler, then I'd probably draft Reggie Jackson because I know I'm going to probably dominate the league.
So Tyler, what would you do?
I'm not drafting Reggie Jackson anywhere, I don't think. Just because, I mean, with this knee tendonitis issue, I know he said he's played through it before, but I mean, this is an issue that's not going to get better, really. I mean, like, he's going to maybe get this injection and alleviate some pain, but it's not fixing the issue. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it crops up again and he misses even more games later on in the season.
All right, that takes us pretty well through most of the players that are going to be drafted in every league. I am curious, though, if you guys had one or two sleepers or guys that are, you know, wild cards, lottery tickets, whatever you want to say.
No, I just got a guy. I have another guy I just want to bring up on the show and see what you guys are thinking.
All right.
And let's go right to you, Mark, because I know this is your squad now with Utah. George Hill. He's always been, I mean, you know, he's always been an interesting guy to own. And in fantasy, can be kind of frustrating. But, I mean, so we have him ranked about 107th here. I mean, what do you see for him in his new team and a new role in Utah?
I mean, I think the time that he has with Gordon Hayward out is going to be a little bit different. We might see when he had that career year when Paul George was out, I think we might see a little bit of that. But I think by and large, he's a role player on this Utah team. He's not a traditional point guard. So I think Hood, Hayward, Exum, Alec Burks are going to dominate the ball. I think George Hill's in there to play a lot of good defense, to make smart passes, to spot up and shoot three-pointers. So, he's solid across the board, right? Like, he's going to shoot a lot of three-pointers. He's going to rebound for you. But his line is not that exciting, and I think that he doesn't have really a high ceiling. So I think 11 points, 3.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, and a 3-pointers is about right for him. That's where we've got him projected. I don't see a lot of upside beyond that in the role that he's playing. I think in the right role, he could exceed that by quite a bit, but I don't think in the role that he's going to play at in Utah, I don't think we see much more than that out of him.
Yeah. Tyler, want to add anything or kind of agree with that?
Was that you cut out a little bit? I did not catch that question.
Do you have anything to add about George Hill?
No, not really. I mean, I'm interested really to follow that rotation and how they're playing that. They obviously have a lot of guys and a lot of guys who are probably deserving of good minutes. So I'm not too crazy on George Hill myself this year.
Are the soccer
– Dan, do you feel differently?
No, I agree with you guys. I just want to see – I've heard some other people do some crazy things with George Hill this year, so I just wanted to make sure.
Cool.
One other guy I want to bring up, Ryan Anderson, who I kind of briefly mentioned, talking about D'Antoni, you know, new coach from Houston this year. I think Ryan Anderson's going to have a monster year. I see him playing big minutes. I see him getting tons of threes, taking tons of threes. He doesn't – unfortunately – Not known for his rebounding prowess, but I'm telling you, man, if D'Antoni goes small, I could see, you know, Ryan Anderson playing potentially some center. And
I don't think that means he rebounds anymore, but I do think you're right. I think he could play center.
Maybe not, but maybe, you know, just one or two more rebounds will fall into his lap that way, you know. So right now I think we have him slotted for what, 6 rebounds, so maybe he can get 7 or 8. I mean, that's, you know, and that can make a difference, but. So we have him 119th. I think that's a little low. So that's a guy in my later rounds that I am trying to draft this year. I think everyone in Houston is going to have put up big numbers.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So
just as long as you expect the right things out of Ryan. So part of the reason Ryan Anderson is low is because he's had missed so many games with injuries. So we've only got him projected for 64 games,
right?
Which hurts his rankings. The other thing to always keep in mind with Ryan Anderson is he'll help you in two categories. He can score a lot and he can shoot a lot of three-pointers. He's probably not going to help you much beyond that. So even if he has a good season, it will be a good season from those two areas. I think as long as you go in with that mindset and that's what you need, I think he can – I agree. I think he has a lot of a higher ceiling than what we've projected for.
Yep.
And I mean, I think this D'Antoni offense could be something else this year.
Yeah, as long as Harden gives up the ball, I think a lot of those guys have big numbers.
Harden eventually like gets stuck and just has to like Harden's probably going to average 10 assists a game or 8 assists or 9 assists. Like I think he's going to have a lot of assists this season.
Yeah.
I think he's just going to always have the ball. He'll get stuck and have to pass out of things. Like I don't think I think usage rate will be through the roof, but I think it will be like a lot of assists with it as well.
So like in the, you know, in the, like the top, like where will Harden rank in assists in the league? Will he be top 10, top 5?
I guess would be top 5. I think he was probably top 5 last season.
Yeah, I think he had, didn't he average almost like 8? Did he average 8 assists last year or something like that? So, yeah, I mean, I'd probably agree with that.
I mean, I think I would feel safe to say that Wall is going to be ahead of him. Rondo is going to be probably ahead of him. And Chris Paul is probably going to be ahead of him. I'm not sure I think anybody's going to be substantially higher than him. Probably like Rubio would be, Westbrook would be, so five's maybe too high. Six, I'll bet it'd be at the same level as like a Rubio.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I mean, I could definitely see Houston putting up 120 a game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right, Tyler, who are some of the guys that you're looking out for a little later in the draft that you think listeners need to be aware of?
Frank Kaminsky.
All right, here's some crazy guys that I'm looking at that are ranked outside. If you play in a standard ESPN league, which there's only 10 teams, okay, so you only draft 130 people, here's a couple names I'm looking at that aren't even ranked in their top 130. Dario Saric, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Clint Capella.
Oh, absolutely. That's
and yeah, no brainer. Yusuf Nurkic is 147.
I agree with all those.
So they're not even being drafted in leagues. And, like, if those were my last four picks, I'd be pretty stoked.
Wait, so recap, what was your four? I only got three of those.
Saric, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Clint Capella,
okay,
and Nurkic.
I miss Capella there.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I think there are some guys you can just, like, target outside of, like, probably not even going to get picked by people that you can be looking at and just be like, oh, I'll have him and him.
Where's Buddy Hield going in ESPN leagues?
Good question.
102. Yeah, that's probably about right.
Are you big on him?
I don't know. I'm getting kind of like enough has gone wrong in New Orleans already that like it seems like last year any competent NBA player had all the opportunity in the world to excel there. You got the college senior there. Like he might be the second best player, considering all the injuries they have, and just seems like a prime opportunity. And those are the guys that I like to take as lottery tickets and just see what happens, because I think a valuable lottery ticket player is somebody that you know that they have a high ceiling and you can determine whether they're going to hit that ceiling really quickly or not. Like Chris McCullough in Brooklyn probably has a high ceiling and he's probably a good lottery ticket, but we're not going to know whether he works out very well before like February. Like you're not going to know if he's going to hit his potential. I think you'll know pretty quickly if Buddy Hield's going to have a really good season or not. Like I think he's going to have a lot of opportunity from opening night. So you can pick, you know, you could draft him, watch him for 5 games, be like, yep, this is the guy I want on my team. This is, you know, he's going to be a top 40, 50, 60 player. Or you'd be like, he has all the opportunity in the world and he's not making any use of it. I'm going to get rid of him. So that's kind of my general approach to those type of, you know, end of the draft picks, but he's not really an end of the draft pick. So it's probably not a fair guy to target there. All right, guys, anything else you want to cover before we sign off here? Wish everybody good luck for their drafts this weekend.
I got one more player. Let's discuss real quickly. Just because I happened to watch a Lakers preseason game. I can't remember if it was last night or 2 nights ago. And that's Julius Randle. Thoughts. Okay. What are your thoughts on that guy? Like, I am not a Julius Randle fan. I actually think Larry Nance Jr. is better suited for that roster and might be a better player than Julius Randle, quite honestly. But then again, I could be dead wrong on this. I just don't – he seems to force – he just forces so much when he's in there. I mean, he plays super hard. I'll give him that. Yeah. But he just
he's ranked 85th in ESPN's rankings. I think that's about right. I think there's a good chance he'll get double-digit rebounds this season, which is obviously valuable. It's tough to draft a guy that to play power forward that is likely to shoot like sub 45% from the field, though.
Right.
And not hit a lot of three-pointers or score a whole lot of points anyway. He doesn't get a lot of defensive stats, so he's kind of like subprime Zach Randolph was. Like,
right.
He's really good at rebounds, and so it's easy to see the double-doubles and really like him. But when you start looking into the other categories, there's not a lot there. And so until he develops another category, until he starts getting a lot of steals or block, which is what Randolph did when he got really, really good, is he got a fair amount of steals to go along with a lot of points. But until Randall starts scoring more and then maybe develops one more category, be three-pointers or steals or something else, I don't think he has a very high ceiling.
So I'm taking Sarge over Randall. I don't know if that's groundbreaking or not.
I would think so. I think
those two are pretty close in terms of where they're ranked.
Not on ESPN, they're not, but on Mark's rankings, they are.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking on our rankings, yeah.
I mean, Randall's 85 on ESPN, and Sarge is 131.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have Sarge at 92, and we have Randall 87. So we have those two close, which I think makes sense.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
All right.
That's, still surprised me a little bit, Tyler.
Did it really? Randall's the only guy I've ever seen who fights his own teammates for rebounds, which that always makes me laugh every time I see it when I'm watching
a
Lakers game.
That's ideal for a fantasy player.
Yeah, but for real basketball, is it just like wrestling your teammate for a rebound?
Well, as long as he racks up the rebounds, I don't care how he gets them.
It is pretty funny. It's humorous to me when he fights his own man for the rebound. I'll give him that.
Where would you draft Drew Holiday, Mark?
If I have an injury spot, I would draft him with one of my bench picks. Does that make sense? So I would fill out my starting lineup. I would probably take, if I have an injured spot, draft him with my first bench spot, put him in injured reserve, and then pick somebody
else. Let's say you don't have an injury spot.
I'm probably not drafting him. Don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the hardest thing I think about his situation. It's just like you never know like what's going to happen. So
and there's been like no news lately of in terms of where that stands either. I couldn't find. So that's such a delicate situation where I don't know how much we're going to find out, you know?
Exactly.
So
yeah. It's possible that I miss out on some fantasy value there, but I don't want to mess with it.
Yeah.
If I don't have an injured spot. All right, guys. Good job. Thanks for joining the podcast tonight. Thanks for talking through the draft stuff. Any parting words or?
No, we should just let the listener know that Mark has played through illness. Mark is dealing with a nasty flu. So thanks for Mark for coming through tonight, man. I feel better, man. Feel better.
Yeah, I always get sick as soon as I start podcasting with Kyle. I think he shares something through the microphone.
He sneezes on the microphone and then you talk into it?
Something like that. All right, guys. We will talk to you all soon. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast. Help us get higher in the rankings so we can continue to share our fantasy goodness with you.
Later, guys.
And enjoy some basketball. We'll talk to you again soon.